UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Percutaneous ablation is a minimally invasive procedure where small needles are inserted through the skin under imaging guidance. These needles are directed towards tumors, which can be in the liver, kidney, bone, or lung. Once the needles are in place, the tumors are destroyed by either heating or freezing the cancer cells. These treatments can be faster and safer than traditional surgery. My guest today is Dr. Andrew Gunn. He's an interventional radiologist at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gunn. Explain a little bit about ablation therapy. It's typically been used in many different conditions, such as AFib or varicose veins. When did this become something that can be used to treat cancer?
Thanks, Melanie, for having me on the podcast. Ablation therapy, as you said, has been around for a long time. In interventional radiology, we've been using percutaneous ablation for kidney tumors and liver tumors for, almost 30 years at this point. We've been able to have very good results with both liver and kidney tumors and be able to treat patients in a minimally invasive manner in which that they can avoid the risks associated with traditional surgery.
So what kind of cancers can be treated with ablation therapy?
Well, we're starting to find out that almost any type of cancer can be treated with ablation therapy. We have the longest history with renal tumors and with liver tumors, but we're expanding ablative therapies into bone cancers and also into pancreatic cancers and into certain types of lung cancers as well. And so, and even researchers actually are looking into percutaneous ablation for small breast cancers as an alternative to lumpectomy. So, pretty much if there's a small tumor that we can see under imaging guidance and we can reach it with a needle, people are looking into ablating it. Now, that being said, again, we have our best results and our best data with our kidney tumors and our liver tumors.
So what's the influence for clinical indications? Is there lesion size or comorbidities of the patient? Speak about some of these clinical indications.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for kidney cancers, we have the best data for kidney tumors that are about 3 centimeters or less in size. Now, certainly there are some patients, for example, patients who might not be good surgical candidates because of other medical comorbidities or for patient preference, that we're certainly able to ablate larger lesions than that. But for the most part, a lot of times we're looking at these lesions that are about 3 centimeters in size, they often get referred to us because the patients either do not want to undergo traditional surgery or because they're not good surgical candidates. In the liver, it's typically the same. Our liver cancers are really managed in a multidisciplinary conference, and so we sit down with surgeons and medical oncologists and radiation oncologists and interventional radiology and kind of determine which tumors would be best for ablation versus intraarterial therapy versus surgical resection. But again, even in liver tumors, we're looking at these tumors that are about 3 centimeters in size, up to 3 of those lesions in which we can do percutaneous ablation.
Is there a need for a pre-ablation biopsy?
That depends. For our liver cancer patients, we often don't do a biopsy beforehand because these patients, often just by imaging characteristics, that's diagnostic for liver cancer or some other type of cancer that they have. And so we often don't do a biopsy for our liver cancer patients. For our renal cancer patients, we often do a biopsy at the same time, and that helps to influence the type of follow-up that they get. But usually by the time they get to us, people are pretty convinced by the imaging characteristics that they have either renal cancer or liver cancer.
So what are some current issues in procedural planning and technical considerations for radiofrequency ablation? Speak about the anatomic location of the kidney to the adrenal gland and as a consideration of all these things.
Yeah, so technically, there's still some debate about what type of ablative therapy is to be used. Certainly, as you just mentioned, radiofrequency ablation is the thing that has been around for the longest, but mostly physicians are, for renal tumors, moving away from radiofrequency ablation. The newer ablative technologies that are out there include microwave ablation, cryoablation, which is where you freeze the tumor, or irreversible electroporation, which is IRE, which kind of destroys the tumor by destabilizing the cell. And so a lot of the research that's out there is kind of looking at different ablative technologies, which ones are better, which ones, you know, may kill the tumor better. So when you're talking about, you know, technical approaches, you know, for us, you may want to use something like IRE if there's, you know, structures nearby that you don't want to damage in the ablative zone, like the aorta, inferior vena cava, adjacent bowel. But a lot of the times we're using cryoablation and able to, you know, safely ablate by using things like hydrodissection, which is where we, you know, instill fluid to protect adjacent structures, you know, from the ablative zone, hydrodissection or pneumodissection, where we put air in there to move the ablative zone away from any structures that we don't want to damage. And so, you know, when we sit down with the patient in our clinic, we go over these different kinds of issues, you know, whether or not there's a safe percutaneous route, are we going to have to do any adjunctive measures, and whether or not we think we can cover the whole lesion in one session, or maybe we'll need to use two sessions. So those are the things technically, you know, that we're really talking about as we consider renal tumors. Now, for liver tumors, the biggest thing is, for a lot of times we're using microwave ablation a lot for these, just because it's quicker and we can get a bigger ablation zone with a single probe. You want to make sure that you're not damaging any adjacent structures like the portal vein or the gallbladder or the biliary system there. So a lot of this for us is treatment planning, where we can safely access and how much we can safely ablate without causing damage to any adjacent structures.
What about follow-up imaging?
Yeah, so it's different for each tumor. For our renal tumors, we usually see them in about 3 months. And I think if you look around institutionally, people, you know, nationwide, people either use 3 months or 6 months as a first follow-up after ablation for a renal cell cancer. If things look good, we usually get scans at 3 months, and then again at 9 months, and then again at a year. And if we don't see anything at that point, we usually get yearly scans for anywhere for 3 to 5 years out. For our liver tumor patients, we usually, a lot of these patients are looking towards getting transplant for their liver. And so we follow them a little bit closer. We usually get a scan at about 1 month, and then again at 3 months. And then if they're the transplant candidates, we usually get them about every 3 months. And if not, usually about every 6 months for the liver cancer patient.
So what does current research indicate for future developments in these type of treatments? Give us a little blueprint for future research.
Well, I think, you know, future research is going to focus on different ablative technologies. I think that's one way, we discussed IRE versus radiofrequency ablation versus cryoablation. I think that's one area. I think another area would be combined technologies. You know, for example, for liver cancer patients, we can do an intra-arterial therapy like chemoembolization or radioembolization and then follow that up with percutaneous ablation. You know, does that give patients better survival, longer progression-free survival, or time to progression? The same thing with renal cell cancer patients. You know, we're looking into if we do a combined transarterial therapy like embolization or radioembolization up front and then treat with percutaneous ablation, is that going to give us longer survivals? And so we don't really know the answers to those things yet, but I definitely think those combined therapies are very interesting and exciting and things that people are going to be looking at going forward.
So in summary, Dr. Gunn, tell other physicians what you'd like them to know about the ablation of kidney and liver tumors and when to refer to a specialist.
Well, I think that one thing that I would like physicians to know is that we can do it, right? I mean, I just think that there's a general lack of awareness of what interventional radiology can provide for patient care. And, you know, your patients have options. So if you see a patient and someone says, well, their only option is surgery, then, you know, you can send them over to us and maybe we can, you know, do a percutaneous ablation, have them avoid that bigger procedure. And we can do something that's more minimally invasive with a shorter recovery time, less hospital stay, and may have just as good a clinical results. And so the number thing I'd want people to understand is that, you know, we can do this, and you should send them over to us to discuss this. The patients that they should be thinking about sending over to us would be, again, patients who have lesions that are less than 3 centimeters in size, for sure. Patients who may have multiple comorbidities where potentially they might not do well with general anesthesia or might not do well with a big surgery. Absolutely, they should be talking to us. And patients who just generally do not want to undergo a large surgery just because of their lifestyle. We see patients all the time that don't want to be down for 4 to 6 weeks, right? They want to be down for a week. They don't want to miss that much work. They don't want to miss a vacation or Christmas or all these other things with their families. Those are the patients that we should be talking to because we have options for them.
And tell us about your team. Why is UAB so great to work with?
Well, our team is all, board certified interventional radiologists. We are, we're the experts in this, in this field and definitely in this area. Anything big and complicated, comes to UAB. And so we see everything and we have lots of experience and we have lots of experience in this area and also clinical trials that we're enrolling people for that they might not be available at other centers. And so I think the fact that we treat patients with a wide variety of problems, that we do so in a multidisciplinary manner with support from world-class physicians from surgery and transplant, urology and gastroenterology, and that we collaborate so closely with them and the ability to enroll patients in clinical trials that aren't available at other centers, I think is a huge benefit for patients.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gunn, for being with us today. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.